today I'm sitting in a park and talking to Erica Landry. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I wanted to tell the listeners that you and I have known each other for a long time. We met when we were both working on Pauline Goebel's campaign.
Yes.
And I don't even...
Years.
Was it that long ago?
30 years, yes. It was 30 years ago.
Wow. I didn't know, though, until I looked at your website that you came from Las Cruces.
I did. I grew up in Las Cruces. I moved there when I was 7 years old. That would have put me in fourth grade. I was a young fourth grader at the time because everybody else was eight. But yes, I moved to Las Cruces from Salt Lake City, Utah.
And so did you stay in Las Cruces and through college or...
No, actually, my dad had a plan for all of us to go to NMSU, and all of us said, no, and decided that we were going to come here to UNM. So I came here as an undergrad. I was 18 and had my first year and completed my bachelor's and my master's here at UNM.
Oh, okay. And so you've lived here ever since you went to college?
I have. Yes, I have. And I've actually been living in District 19. We bought our home 20 years ago. So I've been here in District 19 for 20 years.
Okay.
But I've mostly lived in Southeast Albuquerque the entire time that I've been here in Albuquerque.
Okay. Well, I remember you worked at the UNM bookstore.
Yes, I did.
I worked for the city of Albuquerque how I met Pauline was I worked for the city of Albuquerque. Oh. And I worked for the Media Resource Center. And Pauline Goebel's at the time was the city council president. And I admired her greatly. And she was fun to watch. And she had such poise and such decorum. And she had such power in everything that she did. But it was a gentle power. And I learned about the city through the city of Albuquerque position that I had as an intern. And it was an incredible experience. I got to do the city. I did a chat with the mayor, a weekly discussion. We had city council meetings or city council interviews. And I got to learn about each and every district within the city of Albuquerque. It was a powerful position. I was working my master's at the time, and it was definitely a time of learning and growth. And after that, I think I went into Leadership Albuquerque because of it and worked on a project involving the bus system and why people weren't riding the bus and things like that. So anyway, it was all part of that whole learning thing about the city of Albuquerque.
Okay. Well, obviously, you've been sort of in and out of politics and kind of skirting politics for a long time.
Yes, and to be quite honest with you, I never really wanted to run for office. Things I did, I never considered them political. I considered them community-minded. And every project that I got involved in, I wanted to be part of the solution as opposed to part of the problem. And the biggest project that basically came to me was, well, actually it happened at the Hollywood Video murders. For me, you know, I live in Ridgecrest, but it happened on San Mateo and Zuni. But for me, it felt like it happened just down the street. And the problem with the Hollywood Video murders was that it was completely senseless. Five people were murdered so that somebody could buy tires for his truck. It was just an incredibly senseless, horrible, heinous act. And it woke me up. I was living in La La Land before that, really. I mean, I really didn't pay attention to a lot of the criminal elements that were going on. It just wasn't part of my way of thinking. And then when that happened, I had to take pause. I had to stop and think about what's wrong with this picture. And I noticed that there was an economic issue in this area, in District 19, and that was that money flowed around District 19 rather than it flowing within District 19. So the dollar, if you earned a dollar, it just didn't turn in the neighborhood. It went outside the neighborhood. A good example would be absentee landlords and Section 8 housing, for example. The money gets paid to the landlord, and ultimately that might be a company that's here in New Mexico, but the landlord and the owner of the building lives in Colorado or California or someplace else. house. So the money wouldn't stay in New Mexico. It wouldn't stay in the area. And it certainly didn't go to help, you know, the turning of money in the neighborhood. So I started looking at all of those economic issues with regard to District 19. And I decided we needed to work on developing an economic engine that was within Southeast Albuquerque or within District 19, where the money would start to turn within the community.
And is that when you got involved, when you made the proposal to do the economic development project?
That's correct. That is exactly. I did a tremendous amount of research. And I'd like to say that, you know, the incubator idea was all mine and there are no incubators anywhere. The reality is that there are incubators, economic development incubators, small business incubators all over the world. It is one economic development tool that works. And if you look at incubators that are located in distressed areas, they are turning neighborhoods around. Mm. It's a proven economic redevelopment tool. And it could have made a difference in Southeast Albuquerque.
But you did get the funding for it, as I remember. I used to see you up at the legislature.
Right. I did get a lot of funding, but to air a little bit of dirty laundry, it seemed to me that a certain group were putting up roadblocks, and there was a certain group that were helping to support the endeavor. And the groups that put up roadblocks were bigger and badder than the people who were helping. So that's what happened.
Oh. So it didn't happen at all? It didn't start?
No, it did. I was actually working at, it's just that some of the funding was diverted to other projects. I didn't divert it. Other politicians did. And I figured out that the only thing that happens in District 19 happens because some political entity wants it to happen or not. A good example would be when Paul Allen came back. Paul Allen was the co-founder of Microsoft. And their building that they started in still exists on the corner of San Pedro and Central. Hmm. Basically, he wanted to take his original building and develop it into a science and technology museum, and he had the money to do it.
Obviously.
Right. So a powerful person. He actually wanted to have a museum cluster. He had invited other groups in and said, you know, I'm going to be doing this museum. You know, how about you take one of the buildings and you develop a museum, you know, for your particular entity? I understood he tried for 2 years to get it up and running and had already bought the buildings and spent significant amount of money. But then the mayor at the time started talking about moving the state fair. And as you know, the state fair is just adjacent to that corner. And from what I understand, Paul Allen felt like that was part of the synergy with having the museum there, that the state fair and his museum cluster could work together in tandem. If somebody went to the museum, they could also go to the state fair. If they went to the state fair, they could also come to the museum. And it would have built capacity in the neighborhood. And that would have been private dollars coming in to the neighborhood as well. But because the mayor at the time talked about moving the state fair out to the Mesa del Sol, he kept beating the drums to do that. Paul Allen said, I give up, and gave $1 million to, I believe, the Explorer Museum and left. Mm. Well, it's been a mass exodus of businesses in this area, especially as you look at San Mateo, the Parkland Hills Shopping Center, gone completely. So you see this whole stretch of San Mateo where businesses have just left, and we have to do something to reverse that trend.
When we were walking here from your house, you were telling me about the neighborhood. So let's talk a little bit about what you were saying about the neighborhood.
Well, for one, the house next door to me has been burglarized twice within the last year. Actually, it was 2 years ago that it was burglarized. And then also the car stolen from his driveway. I've had a mural painted, not a nice one, on my garage, which is on an alley. There was a body that was dumped in the alley across the street from my home. And the area, this street that I live on, was 100% home ownership. It is now 50% home ownership. And the signs of when the homes were owned, the yards were well kept, and we didn't have anybody parking on the lawns. Traffic was at a minimal. You know, it was a nice, beautiful neighborhood to live in. And I'm saddened by the changes in the last 3 to 4 years that have impacted us.
Okay.
Besides that, it's a wonderful area.
My listeners care a lot about women's health, especially reproductive health. What are your thoughts on that, and where do you stand?
Well, I'm not quite sure what you're asking about reproductive health exactly.
Pro-choice.
Actually, I've got a different point of view. I think that we've, you know, the question of pro-choice or pro-life is kind of not where we need to be in the discussion. I really feel like the issue of women's bodies and all of that, you know, happens before you get pregnant. And I don't think we talk enough about personal responsibility and, you know, in the age where we do have birth control, et cetera, there's ways of taking care of that sort of reproductive rights. But I think what we're not doing is, I don't think we're really spending the time that we need to with our children. My parents, I have to say, they were always discussing, you know, they wanted to know who we were with, you know, what we were doing. My parents were always on top of me as their child and basically making sure that we were doing the right things, that we were active, that we were doing our schoolwork. And, you know, and we talked. My parents, you know, basically wanted to ensure that I was a fully developed person. And I don't think that's happening. And so we get down to whether or not to have an abortion or to have a choice. I mean, to me, it starts long before we even get to that conversation. And okay. So to have that conversation about, are you choice, pro-choice, or pro-life, I think that's the wrong place to start.
Okay. So it sounds as though you're for providing contraception and for school clinics and other education methods.
No, I think it belongs in the family. I think one of the things that is happening is that people are going to school. People are supposed to be in school to be educated. And I believe, you know, I received a lot of information and a lot of my values. I was born and raised Catholic, and my parents, my values came from my parents. And I think that's, it doesn't belong in school. I believe it belongs with the families. And that's what I believe.
Okay. You worked for the Santa Fe Public Schools.
Yes,
and so one of the things that people are talking about now are social promotion and teaching reading. And what are your ideas about some of those school issues?
Well, of course, I do not wish to continue with the social promotion initiatives. They do not work. If you look at the data in District 19, we've got Highland High School. It's the only high school with a graduation rate of 48%. It's the lowest in the city. If social promotion were working, don't you think we would have more people graduating if it were working? No, it is not working. There are other issues that need to be taken into consideration.
There are some proposals to start remediation right at the beginning and to identify kids that are falling when they're falling behind.
Yes.
And to do extra teaching and extra work starting with kindergarten and first grade and not waiting till the third grade.
I would be for that also, because obviously working in Santa Fe, I've seen some serious cases of children and kindergarten who weren't prepared to go to first grade. If a child shows there's some issues early on, by all means, help them. Why just keep passing them from grade to grade? So I think, you know, our educational system has been in peril for a long time, and we've ignored the issues, and they've gotten remarkably worse. And I think to end social promotion is a way of saying, stop. Enough. We need to change.
Have you been talking to your constituents as you go door to door about ideas for job development?
Everybody's concerned with the fact that businesses are leaving. Loveless was a big crush. 1,000 jobs were lost. But if you look at the multiplier that it had of visitors and, you know, all kinds of things, you know, businesses started to vanish after Loveless when it took, you know, its hiatus away from this neighborhood and started to shore up what it was doing elsewhere. Mm-hmm. The flagship, you know, Loveless. They love the incubator idea. They'd like to see that come online. People talk about, you know, reworking the state fair with some businesses in there. We've talked about a community garden and basically having that community garden be a learning garden for kids who go to the schools in this area. And it also could add to the, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables for the kids in their lunch programs or to take home to their families. I mean, there's just so many ideas that people have about redeveloping this area with, you know, good, important businesses that could add to the community.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate being here, and thanks for the interview.